The good news according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Matthew 18, verses 21 to 35. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, Pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, Have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, before we get started here, I just have to comment on this verse in Romans, which has got to be one of the most popular verses in the Bible. Let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. I would think that that's pretty popular. For those of us who like to eat, I just noticed that. You know, many years ago, at one of the lowest points in my life, I sat one night at a dimly lit kitchen table searching for an answer in a book I was scarcely familiar with, hoping to find a solution for my despair. I was searching for a list of people who were blessed, convinced that for some reason that list, if I could find it, would guide me to the reason why I was afraid and hopeless instead of blessed. I did find the list I was looking for that night, but it did me no good. The first entry on that list from Matthew 5 of people who were blessed read like this: Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I was stumped. What does poor in spirit mean? One of our scripture readings today focuses on a man who is poor in spirit and blessed. And another one of our scripture readings focuses on a man who is not. The parable we just read in Matthew 18 was prompted when Jesus gave his disciples instructions on forgiveness. So Peter asked a pertinent question. How many times must I forgive when someone sins against me? Seven times? The rabbinical teaching at the time was that a person should forgive three times. So maybe Peter was trying to impress Jesus with his charitable spirit by suggesting that he forgive seven times instead of just three. But Jesus said, no, not seven times, Peter, but 77 times, or in some translations, 70 times 7. In other words, Jesus said, Peter, forgive without limits. Just keep on forgiving. And then Jesus told the parable of the servant who was forgiven a huge, almost inconceivable debt. forgiven because his creditor, the king, had mercy on him and on his family. It's a heartwarming story until suddenly it takes an ugly turn. And we find out that the man whose huge debt was forgiven by the king was owed a little money himself. And soon after his huge debt was forgiven, he ran across a man who owed him a few bucks. And this is where it gets ugly. Because rather than forgiving the man who owed him a little money, he had him thrown into prison. Unbelievable. How could a man who had been forgiven so much, who had been the recipient of such great mercy, not forgive someone else? Well, fortunately, there's a satisfying ending to this parable. That ungrateful, hypocritical jerk who was forgiven so much and yet refused to forgive his brother, he was thrown into prison himself, and frankly, that pleases me. Because that's exactly what he deserved. The only problem, I guess, is that it turns out that this parable of the ungrateful servant who was forgiven so much but refused to forgive even a little bit himself, it turns out that Jesus wasn't telling it to the people you know who are just like this ungrateful guy in the parable. Jesus was telling it to you and me. Because we're often just like this guy. I know that stings, but it's true. Our Old Testament lesson from Genesis 50 tells a different story. Not a parable, but an episode from history. It's the story of Joseph, the son of Jacob, the son who was sold by his brothers into slavery at age 17 and carried by slave traders to Egypt. His days are recounted in the book of Genesis, his enslavement, his wrongful conviction and imprisonment in Egypt, the sadness and despair and disappointments of his life, until through a series of miraculous situations, Joseph became the second most powerful man in the most powerful and prosperous nation on earth, Egypt. Joseph's father, Jacob, who loved him very much, never had any idea of what had happened to Joseph. Nor did his jealous brothers know of his fate after they sold him into slavery. But 20 years after Joseph disappeared, the Mediterranean basin was engulfed in a massive famine. There was only one reliable source of food, the nation of Egypt, which under Joseph's direction had stored enough food to feed itself and sell its surplus to its neighbors, including Jacob and his remaining sons who lived to the north of Egypt in the land of Canaan. And the brothers of Joseph traveled to Egypt to buy food and were shocked beyond comprehension to discover that Joseph was not only alive, but now their very lives were dependent on the mercy of their brother that they had sold into slavery years earlier. But merciful Joseph was. And in our Old Testament lesson, Joseph's brothers, on the occasion of their father's death, begged Joseph to forgive them, to spare their lives. And what he said are some of the most beautiful words in Scripture. Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, that God meant it for good, to bring it about that so many people should be kept alive as they are today. Do not fear. I will provide for you and your little ones. You know, I mentioned my search long ago for the list of people who were blessed at a time when I was despairing and depressed. And I found that list in Matthew 5, but didn't understand the very first verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit. It made no sense. I've told you the story of how in church the following morning I sat dumbfounded as the meaning of poor in spirit was explained. Those who are poor in spirit recognize their deep dependence, their complete dependence on God's mercy and forgiveness. The poor in spirit are blessed, even though they've often suffered the most, because they're overwhelmed with gratitude for what God has given them, for God's forgiveness of them, and for God's mercy and help in every trouble. They recognize their dependence on God. They see themselves as they really are. They see the reality of their own sinfulness, and they're overwhelmed by God's goodness, like Joseph was. You know, many times in his life, Joseph must have wondered when or even if God would ever answer his prayers for mercy and help. And in the end, he could say of the worst, most horrible events of his life, God meant it for good and used it for good. In our lives, we also experience tragedy. Every single one of us. There's loss. There's constant change. We're battered by sadness and disappointment. And there are broken relationships. Sometimes it's hard to forgive and to not hurt. But here's some good news. God redeems what has been destroyed. He can take evil and use it for good. And even when you run out of mercy, God's mercy and compassion and forgiveness to you never ends. God will help you in every trouble, and He forgives you again and again. 70 times 7 is a euphemism for more than you can count. Every time you fail, you get another chance. Satan can't claim a victory over you because you always get another chance. Even when your forgiveness fails, God's forgiveness prevails. You get another chance. Through the constant change and sadness and disappointment of life, underneath there's a greater joy, a more constant hope, a reality worth looking forward to. Because Jesus, who was rich, became poor for you. He died on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for you, so that we who are sinful will be forgiven and reconciled, accepted by God. God loves you. You for whom Christ died. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would make us poor in spirit, that we would recognize our deep dependence on your mercy and forgiveness, that we would see the reality of our own sinfulness and throw ourselves upon you and your goodness. Lord, we thank you for your unrelenting mercy toward us. In Jesus' name, amen.